Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight podcast. The State of Freight podcast is where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. In this week's trucking market update, Avery Weiss, FTR's Vice President of Trucking, will be providing an overview of the trucking industry, economy, and key indicators. And he is also joined in this episode by Jonathan Starks, FTR's Chief Intelligence Officer, to discuss the March jobs report. In this week's episode of the podcast, I also want to announce a few small changes. We are going to discontinue the video component of the podcast, but you will still be able to listen online and on iTunes and Stitcher. We are also going to add in a new download option for the presentation graphs and slides. As many of our listeners not only consume information about the transportation industry, but also share and present it to others, we are going to offer a PowerPoint download option to the presentation. This will allow you to pull the entire presentation or individual slides into your own presentations that you can then share along with the FTR insights that you learn from listening to the podcast. A link to the graphs and data that Avery reviews in this podcast will all be available for download at ftrintel.com/podcast. One more addition to the podcast is a new outlet for you to provide feedback. We'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts on the podcast. Tell us what you love about it or what you'd like to see improved by emailing us at podcast@ftrintel.com. Before I turn the mic over to Avery, I also want to add a quick segment to this week's podcast. We are recording this episode from the FTR's annual corporate retreat, and today Eric Starks put a Freightology pop quiz in for us. There were 10 questions about different parts of the transportation industry with multiple choice answers. So I've pulled one of them for you today, and at the end of the podcast, I'll reveal the answers. Also, if you attend the FTR Transportation Conference, there's a chance you'll see some of the trivia questions there. So take notes. Question 1. What commodity group represents the largest amount of freight hauled in the U.S. by ton miles for all modes of transportation? Is it A, crushed stone, B, food, C, metals, D, lumber, or E, transportation equipment and automotive? The question one more time. What commodity group represents the largest amount of freight hauled in the U.S. measured by ton miles for all modes of transportation? A, crushed stone, B, food, C, metals, D, lumber, or E, transportation equipment and automotive? Listen until the end for the answer.
Welcome to FTR's weekly trucking market update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 7 for the week of April 8th, 2019. Following my usual discussion of spot market data, fuel prices, and economic indicators, this week we are pleased to welcome Jonathan Starks, FTR's Chief Intelligence Officer, to help discuss the widely anticipated March jobs report, which was released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics on April 5th. As always, you can download graphics related to today's discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Okay, so let's talk about the spot market for truck freight. We're still seeing the unusual pattern that we've seen most of this year. The market demand index, which is the ratio of loads available to trucks available in the truckstop.com load matching system, is significantly above the five-year average. And while the MDI was down just a bit last week, it has generally been stronger than the recent norm in the past couple of weeks. So given this environment, you would expect spot rates, excluding fuel surcharges, to be above the five-year average. But in fact, they're tracking right along the five-year average overall. And a couple of the major segments are having rates that are significantly weaker than the five-year average. And we'll talk about those momentarily. Overall, load availability has been a bit stronger over the past couple of weeks, probably a function of a late Easter this year. Truck availability, though, is still around what it was a year ago and below the five-year average. Load availability in dry van is running below the five-year average, while truck availability is about where it was last year and well below the five-year average. The dry van MDI is right on the five-year average, but rates dipped slightly again to the lowest level in more than 2 years. The same is true for refrigerated spot rates. even though the MDI is above the five-year average on load availability and right in line with the five-year average and truck availability, not only below the five-year, but even a bit below last year. We have seen a higher flatbed MDI in the past couple of weeks as we move into spring weather and more construction. Load availability is up significantly as truck availability has been heading downward. And yet, rates are just keeping pace with the five-year average. So this is really sort of an odd picture. Normally, if you saw the underlying metrics of load and truck availability that we're seeing now, you would expect to see rates at least in line with what's happening with the MDI. But instead, they're weaker. Now, a couple of possibilities. One, we have seen, I believe, a milder winter than usual. So perhaps this has reduced a little pressure on rates. Also, we have a late Easter, and that might have deferred some rate pressure. But, you know, those are kind of minor on the margin and seems unlikely to be that dramatic of a market mover. So maybe we are seeing bigger than expected shift of freight volume and capacity into contract freight. And that would make some sense of the pattern that we're seeing. And we will continue to watch this and see if this odd pattern continues. Okay, so let's look at fuel and petroleum markets. The price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude has kept on rising, topping $64 as of April 8th. Meanwhile, the price of diesel for the week ended April 8th was up 1.5 cents. That's really not a very big increase on its face, but it is the biggest increase in over a month. And with crude prices surging, we would expect to see higher diesel prices in the coming weeks. Okay, so let's move on to economic indicators. Durable goods orders in February were essentially flat from January, but they are up 2.6% year over year. As we have discussed before, year-over-year growth clearly is easing in this metric. Something I also noticed that I thought was sort of interesting was that the month-over-month and year-over-year changes in durable goods orders, percentage changes, were very close to those for retail sales in February. And that's something that could be coincidental or perhaps not. Let's look at a couple of weekly metrics. First, the downward trend in mortgage rates took a breather, ticking up just slightly. They remain well below late 2018, however, and could be playing a role in the recent strength in new and existing home sales. Something we haven't paid much attention to in past podcasts, in fact, I don't know that we've mentioned it at all, is weekly claims for unemployment. However, that metric caught my eye this week because initial claims for unemployment insurance last week were 202,000, which happens to be the lowest level since December of 1969. So speaking of jobless claims, this brings us to our special focus for this week's podcast, the March Jobs Report. And I'm pleased to welcome to the podcast John Starks, who is the Chief Intelligence Officer for FTR. John, what do you think about the March jobs report?
Well, obviously, after February, in which there was only 33,000 jobs added, there was a lot of concern. March came, we saw 196,000 jobs added. It really basically dispelled all those initial causes of concern. But when we looked at jobs on a more rolling basis, because there can be fluctuations from month to month, if we look at the last 3 months, it averaged out to about 180,000. If we looked out the last 6 months, about 207,000 jobs per month. The last 12 months, about 211,000 jobs per month. So there really wasn't a wide discrepancy between where the economy has been operating and where it is right now. So yes, there was 1 month, but it really looks to be an anomaly. So then, as we kind of move on and think about the overall employment situation, we have unemployment that is still near historic lows. It's been there for a reasonable period of time now and expected to continue. One of the positive benefits of that is the labor force participation rate really is not declining. Now, usually we anticipate wanting to see a labor force participation environment that is rising, but because of the retirement demographics that are occurring right now and as we look ahead, we are actually expecting it to fall. But for the last several years, it has basically held very steady, somewhere around the 62 to 63% mark, which is worse than we operated during, you know, much of the 90s and the 2000s, but is nowhere near as bad as could be expected given those retirement demographics. As we look ahead, the issue becomes when labor growth stops, that participation rate could fall much more drastically. That starts to put a real big crimp on the ability of the market to then add the economy to add jobs and grow. If we look at wage growth, this is a definite positive. So wage growth over about the last year plus, it's been accelerating. Now, the last, I'd probably say 6 months, it stopped accelerating. It's running about, you know, 3.5% annual wage growth. That's definitely better than we are operating through most of this recovery, which was close to about a 2.5% rate. So that's a positive for the near term, but it doesn't really dispel any of the causes for concern in the economy, because wage growth, it can be strong even when we're heading into a recession. So it's a positive for the near term, but it really doesn't change our outlook for the issues that are occurring in the marketplace.
Okay. Well, thanks. Those are really interesting insights. And I wanted to add to this discussion of the overall employment market a little bit about specifically the transportation industry. And interestingly, we saw in for-hire trucking, despite a substantial increase in the number of jobs in the overall economy, we actually saw the first pullback in employment month over month in for-hire trucking since April of last year, so nearly a year. And this is squares with what we're seeing in the market. We're definitely seeing stabilization overall, so it doesn't seem out of the ordinary. We also potentially may be seeing some effects of some individual carrier issues, such as New England Motor Freight's Chapter 11 and its decision to shut down. So there's potentially some issues there. And if it is, it's likely to be near term. If there were job losses related to New England Motor Freight, for example, those drivers and those dock workers may very well be snapped up, within the next month or two. And so we might actually see a bit of a bump, but it's hard to say. We are definitely seeing, though, some deceleration in the year-over-year growth in for-hire trucking employment. So it does seem to feel as if we've hit the peak in this cycle's onboarding. Again, these are just payroll jobs where this does not include the owner-operator segment. But typically, we find that the owner-operator segment follows very closely with what happens in the payroll employment side of things. Parcel and local delivery jobs, what the Bureau of Labor Statistics calls couriers and messengers, month over month was essentially almost flat. That comes off at the very end of the year. We saw kind of an unusual dip in what has been a very strong growth period, really going back to 2014 or so. Much of it, related to the rise of e-commerce and the strength there. A little bit of softening in the year over year, but still very strong by recent standards. Really, the only period where we saw much stronger growth was really kind of at the beginning of what we term the Amazon effect, which was sort of around that 2014-2015 period, where we really saw that acceleration in e-commerce. Meanwhile, warehousing and storage has just been essentially a consistent growth industry over this period of time, pretty much in line with what we see in local delivery and parcel, and that kind of makes a lot of sense. We're seeing year-over-year growth moderating, but that's in face really of just tough comparables in a lot of ways. So it's not that much of a concern. The overall slope does seem to be slightly flattening out, but it does not seem to be anything where we're looking at a collapse of any case. And in fact, if we look at the 20 fastest growing industries, which we do every month, both couriers and messengers and warehousing and storage are in the top five year over year. So even though they are slowing a bit month over month, they're still in the top five, couriers and messengers being number four and warehousing and storage number five. And consistently for many months, we've had support activities for mining, which really, in this case, we're talking about oil field activity. So roustabouts and other people, other laborers that are tied to oil field activity being the fastest growing year over year. And not too surprisingly, oil and gas extraction also being in the top three. So we're seeing, again, transportation overall being a very important growth area. For hire trucking is not necessarily where all of the growth is, but again, it is a much larger industry than the couriers and messenger segment, so you wouldn't expect to see that kind of growth. And so with that, I want to thank John Starks for joining us this week, and let's move on, and we'll talk about the summary and the outlook for the following week. Okay, let's summarize. Spot market metrics would suggest firming rates, but we are seeing the opposite. A big shift in volume from spot to contract could explain that, but it generally is counterintuitive. Crude finally surges to well over $60 a barrel, in fact, at $64 a barrel as of April 8th. Diesel prices move up a bit, and more likely is coming. Durable goods orders are flattening out, very much in line with retail sales. Mortgage rates paused their downward trend. First-time claims for unemployment benefits were at their lowest level in more than 49 years. And the U.S. labor market bounces back, although for-hire trucking takes a breather. Finally, let's take a peek at what's in store for Episode 8. Just a couple of things at this point that we're sure of that are coming next week. One is job openings, which have been strong over the past couple of years. And another is the Producer Price Index, and we'll specifically be looking at the PPI for truckload and LTL services as a bit of a proxy for what's happening with rates in those segments. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, Episode 7. As always, if you listen to this podcast only in audio, you can download the graphics that I covered at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope you will join us next week.
Thank you, Avery and John, for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Trucking Market Update will be published each week along with a PDF and PowerPoint download of the presentation, graphs, and slides. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on iTunes or Stitcher and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find all of this information and more details at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. And now for the moment you've been waiting for, the answer to the trivia question from the beginning of the episode. The question was, what commodity group represents the largest amount of freight hauled in the U.S. measured by ton mile for all modes of transportation? And the correct answer is food. When we took the quiz, I actually got this one wrong, as I thought it would be crushed stone. However, Avery pointed out that since it's by ton miles, it doesn't move as long of a distance as items like food. That's it for this week's FTR State of Freight podcast. Thank you for listening. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.